Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today we thought we would talk about our personal triggers that get us angry at work. Because this week we talked about, you know, anger in the workplace, which, you know, no one wants to believe there is anger in the workplace, but there's plenty of it.
Right.
We all get angry.
We do.
I mean, all kinds of things happen in the workplace. Somebody drops the ball. Somebody throws their work on your desk. Somebody doesn't do what they say they're going to do. There's all that stuff. But knowing your own personal triggers.
Yes.
Because, you know, frequently people say to me, I can't believe that didn't bother you. That really bothered me. But I got plenty of other things that bother me. Like, everybody has their own triggers.
Well, actually, that is the beauty of triggers, I think, is that if you see that someone is not bothered by something that really drives you crazy, you can ask them how they experience it. You know, how do you interpret what happened? Because I think that person's an idiot or whatever it is their thinking is.
And we have opposite triggers, which works out in a partnership. We've got all our bases covered.
We can get angry over anything, really, together.
Together we have plenty, right. All right, so you start with one. What's one of your triggers?
Well, I think you know this about me, Kathy, but I get very triggered by rude behavior. And
what's rude to you? I don't know what you mean.
Well, someone who cuts someone off when they're speaking or someone who doesn't say thank you or please, those little niceties. I also get triggered. For a while, I was our hall monitor. You remember that?
So you've given up on that. What happened?
I detached, as we talk about in one of our many books.
It was a fruitless effort.
It was a fruitless effort. And I would get very angry about, you know, why doesn't anyone take care of the recycling the way they should?
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. Slovenliness, I have a bad reaction to.
Mm-hmm. So what happens?
So I look at it and I think they should know better. That's one of the beliefs I have. And then I get this righteous indignation. And then I start fantasizing about how I'm going to do a petition all over the hall. And I'm going to yell at the maintenance guys. I got a whole scenario. So I obsess. That's what happens for me. When I get mad, I stomp around. That's my active anger look and behavior.
It's pretty mellow. I'm sorry. Sorry to say, it's not that strong.
It isn't, but I feel strong at the time.
I feel strong to you.
How about you? What's one of your triggers?
I mean, I have four written down here, so I'll just start with the one that happened to me recently, so it's really fresh in my mind. People that talk at me, and there's no room for any conversation.
Yes.
It's just they're talking at me. Yeah. I can't say anything because they don't hear, because they have to just keep talking at me.
Right.
I become infuriated.
So what happens then? What do you do? How does it manifest?
Well, because I can't get anything in, I have the time to cool myself off.
Yeah.
But I can't even be around people like that. I have to, they have to go somewhere. They go live on another island. I mean, or I just won't really communicate with them because I find it so offensive.
Yeah.
So what happens to me is I feel like my blood is boiling. Like, I feel like my blood pressure is rising or something. I have some kind of anxiety, and I start to think about all the things I'd really like to say to them.
Right.
But, you know, all you can do is take a breath and they, you know, talk over you.
Yeah.
But I have the opportunity to, you know, cool off because it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, so you've learned over time to cool your system down, is what it sounds like.
Well, you have no choice with a person like that. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
I mean, I never want to be with them again. I just, you know, somehow avoid them if I can.
Right.
I've never had to work with somebody like this.
Yeah. Well, that is, we are lucky that way by being self-employed. We don't have to work with people
who
talk at us.
But we've had clients like this. I've had clients like this.
We have.
And the truth is, when they talk at you, they're not open for input. So if you're not open for advice, you wouldn't want to come here anyway.
Right.
So they don't last very long.
Well, we had one client who was a very extensive talker, and we would insert ideas
right.
with her every, you know, when she took a breath kind
she
of thing.
She never improved.
Yeah.
Really, because of it.
Yeah.
And I think talking at you is a defense mechanism to avoid
uh-huh.
a conversation or avoid any kind of growth.
So let me just ask, because I feel like for me, for example, with the rude behavior or the slovenly behavior, I feel like they're not being responsible. You know, that's my mm-hmm. belief, and mm-hmm. that's what sets me off, and I want to render justice and hold them responsible. Is there a belief that you get that gets triggered for you when someone talks at you?
That they're a know-it-all?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, usually what comes with it, by the way, is they know everything.
Yes.
So that's my belief is that they're, well, my belief is that they're immensely insecure.
Uh-huh.
And this is their way of you not intimidating them.
Yeah.
There's no opportunity.
They'll out-talk you.
Right.
So you can't get.
Right. So that's my belief about them.
Okay.
And it may not be true, but.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Pretty sure. There's a good chance that that is true. All right. So another trigger that I have is what I would call, I want to call bullying behavior, but not just someone who's a bully at work. It's the bullying behavior, the people who, say, cut you off when they're driving or mm-hmm. step in front of you in a line or,
ooh.
You know, they're just, they seem to think that they have rights that are beyond anyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of behavior really sets me on fire.
Very entitled.
Entitled, yes, that's a good term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the truth is that part of that is because I often have a hard time feeling entitled. So when someone does that and mm-hmm. I think is being so inconsiderate of others, I have a strong reaction to it.
Mm.
So that's another anger trigger that I have to breathe through for myself, especially driving, because you don't want to get angry. And
right. You don't. It's true. Well, I mean, that is, that would piss me off too.
Uh-huh.
So another one I don't like is people that couch a criticism in what they think is a compliment.
Mm.
So we have people over the years that have said things to us like, yeah, I guess your books help people. Yeah. People buy them.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah.
But I have another one here. I see that people like your books. You know, like so things like, I mean, we've had a lot of stuff. I remember this one guy said to us, don't let that book get in the way of your business. And
yes.
It was our business.
Yes.
Yeah, those kinds of comments I find really passive aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And I have to control myself. I
yes.
really do. I have to control myself and know, okay, this person can't be direct.
Right.
Or they're jealous, or I don't really know what it is,
right.
but I have to let it go. I just
right.
have to let it go.
That's a really, so and this is an interesting one that we're actually different on. It does not bother me that much when people say those things because I don't believe them.
What do you mean you don't believe them? What do you think, they're making it up?
No, mostly I just think they're ridiculous. I'm just saying this is one of the things that doesn't trigger me. There are plenty of other things that do.
So what do you mean it's ridiculous? I don't understand.
If someone says like, I read, or maybe they say, I read your little book, or
mm-hmm.
don't let it get in the way of your business. I just think you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't anger me. That's all.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if someone does harshly criticizes us for something,
mm-hmm.
then I'll have a strong emotional reaction.
Oh, that's funny. See, if somebody harshly criticizes us, then I think they're really stupid. See, they don't bother me because nobody can be tougher than myself than me.
Right.
So I think that, oh, they don't get it.
Right.
They don't get it. Who cares? But when they put passive aggressive.
Right. You don't like indirect.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that's similar with the person who talks at you. They're not directly saying, I don't want any feedback. They're just making it impossible for you to give feedback.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. It's not a covert kind of way of communicating.
Yeah.
What else don't you like? What else is your trigger?
Well, actually, you know about this because I have a few people in my life who do this. Chronic lateness.
I don't like that either.
That will make my blood
boil. Me too.
waiting mm-hmm. for somebody or someone not showing up or not letting you know that they're running late or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. That really gets to me. And I've learned with time, actually, to set boundaries with the people who are chronically late, where I'll just say, I'll wait for 10 minutes. If you can't make it, then mm-hmm. I'll move on. Mm-hmm. But that took a long time to put into place.
Yeah, it puts me in a bad mood mm-hmm. when someone is late, because I'm never late.
Right. Well, you're super on time.
Yeah, I really don't like it. It's rude. It's a rude behavior. It's disrespectful, which brings me to another one. I don't like when somebody is disrespectful to me, and that would be part of it. Mm-hmm. Or they just speak to me as if I'm not really there.
Yeah. As if you're not really there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you could be anybody.
Well, or that you're just not very important. They ignore you. Like we've had yeah. agents like that. I'll take 6 months to return that email because they're not really very important.
We'll call you at 5:30 on Friday because
right,
you're
we
not
had an
very
editor
important.
Who called us every Friday at 5:30 on his way out the door. That's how important we were. Yeah, I don't like that. That really angers me, and I have to control myself.
So this brings us to a really interesting point, which that what I would say is we all have different triggers, and they're usually based on beliefs or fears that we have. You mm-hmm. know, the fear of being disrespected, the fear of not being valued, the fear of not being considered. That's one of mine, mm-hmm. right? The fear of someone egging in on your territory. Mm-hmm. So part of the beauty of understanding your triggers is just as you were describing earlier, then you can manage them, mm-hmm. right? Because anger is most powerful when you use it from a cooled down mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Kathy?
I would. So you're saying that, because I have another one here, which is when people talk to me like I'm dumb.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like doctors will do that?
Yes.
I'm like, oh, really?
Right.
So that is a fear that somebody's going to think I'm dumb.
Right, there
so
you go.
So these are all based in fears.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, same for me. If someone is harsh, very harsh and critical of me, my biggest fear is that I'm not good enough, I'm not doing a good job. And so I'll get mad, righteously mad about the criticism. But really underneath that is this fear that they're right. Mm-hmm. So if we know our triggers, then we can self-manage mm-hmm. doing some of the unhooking stuff that we usually talk mm-hmm. about, breathing, taking a walk, certainly zipping the lip mm-hmm. rather than communicating in a heated fashion.
Right.
Right. On the other hand, those behaviors could be indicating that you want to make sure to set a boundary with this person. You don't necessarily want to be working with them.
Right.
Too closely.
Right. Too closely. You want to avoid them.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's good to have these people around you to learn.
They're good teachers.
Right. They are good teachers. And they don't always mean it.
No.
They're sort of tripping into your, you know, thing.
That's telling me, reminding me of another area where I get mad, which is someone who's like, if I'm doing something, if I'm cooking or fixing something or cleaning something, and they're standing over me, mm-hmm. telling me how to do it while I'm doing it.
I don't like that either.
I get very angry.
Because why? It's triggering what?
Honestly, it's because I feel like they're trying to control me, mm-hmm. number one, but also that they don't think I can do it. Mm-hmm. And that's a fear of right. mine, right? So I'll get very mad. And I've learned particularly at home in certain situations to zip my lip mm-hmm. because I used to get so mad, like, fuck off, or you, I know how to do this, or you don't believe I can do this, and it's a waste.
It's funny, that is not one of mine, because usually if somebody tries to tell me, I'll say, here, why don't you do it? So it's funny. That, yeah,
I will say that, but I don't ever get them to do it, so that's my weakness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's been the trigger that I've learned now when someone is telling me, correcting me as I'm doing something, mm-hmm. hovering over me, that I just have to take a nice deep breath. Mm-hmm. And I could say, here, I'm going to let you do this. Or sometimes I'll just say, you know, I'm going to get back to this.
So our bookkeeper must piss you off. Does she?
No, she doesn't. She just corrects me,
right.
But she doesn't hover over me. She comes.
She would
calls
if, she,
after,
if you let her.
She calls after me.
Catherine? Catherine. That's what she says. I can hear her coming down the hall. We've talked about this. Even if it's my mistake, Catherine gets blamed because she just thinks it's always right. You. So
that used to upset me. I know. Yeah, and I've, in part because we've turned it into a humorous
We laugh
occurrence.
About it all the time.
That's right. But also going back, it had to do with shame, anger, whatever that I felt about not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, so this just, you know, this is what we want everyone to do is to just really think about your triggers and how to incorporate self-care and self-management so that others are not at the effect. I mean, I still suffer from this. I don't do it too well. When I get pissed off, everybody knows. I'm still trying to master controlling it better.
Right. We're works in progress. And the more you are aware, self-aware, and the more you, I love that term, take care of yourself so that if you are upset, and even if you do lash out at someone, that then you go and I'll use the term physically unhook, but you do something physical, you do something to purge that energy and cool yourself down and get to a different place with mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
All right, join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.